All right, it's time.
Oh, it's time.
For our high tea movie review. Working title. We're working on it. We're kind of going with that. And we're dealing now with the... So what did we do last?
Armageddon.
Oh, Con Air. Yeah. It was Con Air.
Okay, so joining us now, of course, part of the crew, part of the high tea movie crew, I think. These movies are great. Is Corby Davidson. He's from the afternoon show that they call The Hard Line.
See, this is the riddle that is me because, look, I can appreciate Brokeback Mountain and Milk, but I can also...
Those are films.
Those are important. I can dig into to The Rock and be quite satisfied.
I feel like this is really helping you bond with your sons.
Oh, there's no doubt. There is no doubt.
Rambo and The Rock and...
Because you know what those boys... You know what boys love? You knew what you liked as a kid, and you know that they're probably going to like it too, unless they're nerds.
See, that's what I think about too. A lot of guys talk about like having a son in sports and the whole live vicariously through them. That's not what I want. I want them to watch The Rock with me.
Yeah.
And look over after it's done and say... Top five dead.
Well, the reason we did The Rock was because after we did Con Air, that was the number one suggested by the P1 movie to do next for some reason. Maybe just because it's Nick Cage?
It's Nick Cage. I mean, obviously, Jerry Bruckheimer and Michael Bay are kind of...
They had a good run.
They're kind of owning this segment right now. This is a Michael Bay directed, produced by Bruckheimer. It's got Nick Cage. It's got Sean Connery. It's got Ed Harris. It's got everything.
Now, what a year 1996 was. Independence Day.
Oh, let's do that soon.
Trainspotting, Fargo, Scream, The Rock, Twister, which I have a story
about. Twister. So I know Jake saw this. I had to have growing up. But Dan, I'm wondering, did you consume this in the 90s?
I have never seen this until this week.
Oh, my God. I saw this at the theater.
This is the fourth highest grossing film of that year behind Independence Day, Twister, Mission Impossible, and then it would be The Rock.
Basically, what you're laying out there are just the movies you pick up on Friday after Dad picks you up from Mom's for the Dad weekend.
Yeah.
So we grabbed that and like Jerry Springer Uncensored. And we just...
you saw
11-year-old me and 8-year-old Joe and my dad, yeah. Like, man.
And it wasn't like your dad didn't like it.
Oh, no. Eats it up. Absolutely eats it up. So the premise is
perfect.
Possibly not as ridiculous as trying to blow up an asteroid with drillers or convicts taking over a flight, but it's a pretty close.
So do you want to do it like we've been doing and sit in the movie, the writer's room?
Yes, the pitch meeting.
Either the pitch meeting or the writer's room, because I envision us trying to sell this to a studio. And first of all, they're going to say yes. You know why? Because I just locked up Nick Cage and Sean Connery.
Nothing else really matters.
Right.
I mean, I'm interested in hearing the rest of your pitch and your notes.
Well, how about
this?
Really, what if I tell you this? Michael Bay said he's free.
He's got a year off.
His schedule, yeah. His schedule will allow.
I love it. So we got like a military angle here, or what are we working with?
I like what you're saying here.
Yeah. Now, I don't want them to just be regular guys. I'm thinking...
Well, the thing is about them is they're so different. Sean Connery is, of course, he's a film star from, you know, the 60s. He's old, but Nick Cage is like the Sean Connery of today. So, I view them as maybe... Do you guys think a father and son would be good? Or do you want to go more opposite? So, they're just different. One's old, one's young.
And they can sort of learn stuff from each other.
One's like a criminal. One's like a... He's, I don't know, FBI agent or something, right? Can we go to that?
Yeah, you know, we've done that before. You know, how about like a chemical warfare weapons expert?
What if he works for the FBI?
See, I
a
like
division
what,
of it. Okay.
And he's a chemical weapons guy in the FBI.
See, okay. I like what Corby's
I just want a good
here.
Guy versus bad guy. I want that clearly drawn.
Yeah, they have to work together. But I like what Corby's right. saying right here because this is the year is 1996. Chemical weapons, very hot right now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Very
right.
hot.
Very
right
in.
Now.
Yeah.
You know what else is hot? We could work this into the story, I'm thinking. Just an undertone here. This doesn't have to be the main whole thing, but you know the way some of our soldiers have been treated?
Yeah.
Like after they go to war for us?
Yeah.
I think that's bullsh.
I agree.
I would like to make a statement about that. I don't want to make the whole movie about that. But what if we somehow put in a storyline where... Ooh, I got one.
Okay.
So how about... We'll work that in. The people that are, air quote, the bad guys, they're going to actually be up for a good cause. So what they're going to do is they're going to be kind of protesting how we treat our military after they come back from fighting for us. But they're going about it in the wrong way.
I like this. It's kind of a moral dilemma.
Yeah, so they're going to demand ransom from the U.S. government. I don't know, they can get hostages or something. We'll work that out in a minute. But,
okay.
But the money that it's to pay soldiers.
Who's against that?
Right. So, yeah, it's the end doesn't justify the means, but or the means don't justify the end, but it's a good end, actually. So you as a viewer are going to be thinking. This is not just a non-brain movie.
You know, we need a setting. We need something that's going to pop.
Yeah, we've done a plane.
Yeah.
Jungle.
We were kind of hot on the jungle, but jungle's kind of old news right now. That was more of an 80s thing.
Yeah.
Don't know that I want him actually in war, because that makes people uncomfortable. We need a place that, like, a bunch of people in America have been, like a tourist-type destination.
Yeah, like San Francisco, but maybe something different.
I have an idea.
What?
Go on.
What if we use the abandoned prison at Alcatraz?
Oh, no!
Wait.
Boom!
That's where we can get the hostages.
Yeah,
there's already people there.
They'll have like a trip, you know, you'll just go there, take it over while there's tourists there.
Families.
Built-in hostages.
Yeah.
Wait a second, tourists. Wait a second. We can point the chemical weapons right at the city of San Francisco.
This is
yeah,
just too
huge
perfect.
Population.
It's
yeah.
all coming together.
Right, right.
We've got a setting. We've got a target. We've got a moral dilemma. We've got hostages.
Okay, so now we have this opposite. The opposite leads, though. One's old, one's young. One's a good guy, one's a bad guy. What brings them together? How about they also, they have their faults, but they also both have a love for family. That's what will bring them together. That's what
they
will
do.
Cause them to work together in the end. In fact, their family members are in San Francisco, right?
Oddly enough.
Well, then they can be personally affected by this outcome.
Wait, that seems silly that both would be in San Francisco. That doesn't seem realistic.
Moviegoers don't care.
No, let's have Nick Cage's woman. She'll fly into San Francisco right before this happens.
Ooh,
okay, so
interesting.
That'll make
it
more believable.
Here.
Okay.
In the middle of a situation where there's a weapon pointed at the city of San Francisco, her husband is involved in this situation. She still flies to San Francisco.
Okay, well, she...
I feel like I probably don't love that, but...
Well, she doesn't... She's an independent woman like, you know, these broads in the 90s are. She's... Can I
hear you.
Can I get a harumph?
I hear you.
So, let's kind of show that, too. He's going to... Try to warn her not to come, but she's going to not be even listening.
Women.
But also, it's not public knowledge that this weapon is pointed at the city of San Francisco, because then there would just be evacuations.
Panic.
And it would be chaos. You don't want that. So it has to be a sleeping city. The city isn't aware. The only people that know are the government.
Let me ask you this. So you've mentioned that we've got this old guy, Sean Connery, who's kind of a bad guy. Why do we need him? What's his role here?
You know, nobody's ever escaped from Alcatraz.
Are you going to tell me this guy was at Alcatraz as a prisoner?
Hey, that's a good idea. He was at Alcatraz, so he knows Alcatraz, so they need him to...
That's a home run.
You
right
guys,
there,
hang
please.
On. Hang on. What if he's the only person that ever escaped from Alcatraz?
But no one ever escaped from Alcatraz.
Aha! Now...
Anybody know?
It's a government secret... Oh. That there was one guy who did escape, but he's been buried in a prison cell for so long after he was captured. Nobody ever knows this because it would be a shame and a stain on the U.S. government if anybody ever found out.
Okay,
that's incredible.
I like that because it already adds to the, you know how the government isn't treating our soldiers right?
Right.
We have distrust for the government, right? So we certainly people will buy that.
But what if...
That they are covering something up.
We use this man who has escaped as a way to get back in.
Right.
He can get in.
Right. If you know how to get out, you can get in.
And that will foil the plot to chemical weaponize San Francisco.
I've actually been sent a little treatment here. This is just from a table read.
Uh-huh.
Showing when our anti-hero is actually able to get into Alcatraz here. They're worried because they think he's got it out for the government. They don't know if they can trust this guy.
Looks like he f***ed his commander.
I knew it. That son of a bitch jumped ship.
So now I'm going to have him kind of rolling under fire, basically.
Yeah.
And a cleaver that swings back and forth. But he knows how to do it. He timed it. He told us that he timed it out. But they think he's jumped ship. But he's the only one that can get in.
Even though he escaped 40 years earlier, he still remembers the exact cadence and countdown that it takes to go in between a furnace and a meat cleaver.
Paces.
Right.
He's and you know, pace, there's no more accurate description of length than pace.
Universal unit, yeah.
Welcome to the Rock.
Oh. And then the Michael Bay soundtrack swells. He didn't jump ship.
No.
He figured it out.
No.
And said, welcome to the Rock.
To the Rock.
Dude, I got up and screamed in my living room last night. When
all
that
right.
Happened.
Let me tell you this, right okay. out of the chute. Of the schlocky Michael Bay super high budget action films,
offensive.
This sits at the very top of the pyramid. This is the Point Break of Michael Bay films.
Interesting.
Wow. I want to know what Dan thinks.
Superlative Corby is on the scene. Well, up next, we'll talk more about this and we'll find out. Did Nick Cage inject himself in the heart?
We didn't even discuss that, so let me know.
Next. The ticket says there's...
Corby is with us. He's part of our high tea crew.
Yeah.
Dan is often part of the high tea crew, oddly enough.
Yeah. This, for Van, this is at the very top of this genre as well.
Oh, really?
I think if he had to seed them, this would definitely be a one seed.
This, if you're just tuning in, The Rock... The Nicolas Cage vehicle / Sean Connery, a Michael Bay film, 1996, Jake's wheelhouse.
You know, as we're talking this out...
Divorced Dad films. Maybe it's the Divorced Dad film series.
That's not a bad way to frame it. The 90s ruled.
I think they did.
Like, I'm just looking at the list. Like, in the break, we came up with five more that we need to do. Between Independence Day, what about Air Force One?
Dude,
that's a great one.
Is that Howie Long?
You're thinking of...
What about Air Force?
Broken Arrow. Broken Arrow,
Broken Arrow has John Travolta.
Air Force One is Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
Not on my watch or whatever the line was.
Haven't we been talking about Face Off forever?
Yeah.
Gotta do Face Off.
Yeah, that documentary is the best.
Gotta do Face Off. Man, the 90s, they're just great.
Okay, so Corby was talking about...
Yeah, so he...
You're what, 12-year-old?
He's 11.
All right.
So he, and I asked him, I was like, so, you know, he's like, God, that's just amazing. It's just so incredible, you know. And I go, so what about, you know, this compared to Con Air? Because we've watched both of them kind of back to back within a couple of weeks of each other. And he was like, Dad, I mean, that ending scene with the daughter and the bunny and Con Air, it's totally unbelievable. But this...
Hanging on to that.
That ruined it?
This was totally believable.
Okay, so this was every moment of the 2 hours was...
Yes, totally believable.
Including when Nicolas Cage... So they alluded to it a few times before. At least twice. I noted it after twice. they had said, so of course the chemical weapons guy is Nick Cage, and there was a chemical, you know, spill or problem in the beginning of the movie, and you saw just how powerful these chemicals were, because just being within 2 inches of it, this guy's face melted off, and you know, it's just terrible. And they said, if you are exposed to it, you have 20 seconds to inject your heart with this something. Adrenaline thing, or, you know, it's
Don't worry about it. We don't really have to explain
that.
It's not really that important.
It's the antidote.
Is, the point is, it's going to go in your heart,
but you have to put
it yourself.
Yeah, and you have to do it yourself, and they alluded to that in the beginning, like, if it happened. Then they alluded to it again. I'm like, damn, they're going to be doing this somewhere in this movie. How did I not know it would be Nick Cage, who knows everything about chemical weapons?
Oh, speaking of that real quick, I don't really know what to call
a guy.
But
he pierced his own, you know, chest plate, and just like in Pulp Fiction, but did it to himself.
Yeah.
And then was up and at him moments later.
I don't really know what we call the profession that Nick Cage is occupying here, so let's go to the film and see what they termed it.
And we have to go to our primary initiative, Admiral.
Sir, I'd like to bring in our SEAL ground commander, Commander Anderson.
Mr. Womack, who is your best chemical biological man?
Oh, so, okay, we'll just say chemical biological man.
Man.
Sounds like Ribby.
What'd you go to school for? Chemical, biological?
Man.
Didn't they give a rundown of his educational awards and everything? He's the best!
Yeah, it's always the best. Like Ben Affleck says in the Con Air commentary, or no, Armageddon commentary, it's always the best.
Yeah.
You always have to have also one kind of egghead. So usually we're going to work the Ivy League in here somehow.
Right. Do you like how the FBI agents, all the other ones are buffoons? They're happy they're getting free food.
Wait, yeah. What a banana. Nice.
They brought in the gay hairdresser for comic relief.
Yeah, you need that.
For Sean Connery to get a haircut, because he's been in jail for 30 years. That he hadn't had a haircut.
He's basically in the hole, like in solitary confinement for 50 years or something like that, hidden from the rest of the world.
You know what I forgot to recreate in our pitch meeting?
What's that?
Okay, I'm going to need a classic car chase through the, you know, San Francisco. A lot of,
you know,
fans.
The hills.
Yeah, a lot of, you know, let's just do that.
Lombard.
We're going to put Connery in a Hummer. We're going to put Cage in a Ferrari. I want explosions. I want a water truck slowly driving across the street, and we're going to go right through that, because then it'll explode all the water. It looks badass.
I just want to be clear, like, this isn't happening on the island? Like, this is a complete...
Oh, no.
This is before we get to the island.
Yeah.
Okay.
Before we get to the island. Because Connery, he's an escape artist. Do you remember?
Yeah.
He can escape even from Alcatraz. They're going to have him, you know, holed up and sequestered in a hotel. But like I said, all the FBI agents are kind of buffoons.
Yeah, they're
going to escape.
Connery
from the
ordered them free food, and they're so taken by the food that he gets away
like
somehow. And by the way, let's just make sure that the public knows, as we're creating this character, that even though he has been in solitary confinement for 60 years, he has retained every bit of cunning and sharpness and agility that he needs in 1996 to escape and get away.
Right, no slippage. Think He's that good.
Think of how your own body feels, you know, being the age you are. Now add 15, 20 years.
Right.
And like you said, so now his agility, everything is just perfect as well. But also his mind, he does remember exactly 59 paces from the air duct to the sewer. But I'm not done with my drive through San Francisco, the chase. I want a plate glass window shattering. I want that Ferrari flying through the middle of it.
Perfect.
That's going to look badass.
It's Michael Bay. You know that's happening.
I want to have an old lady walking slowly across the street. But Sean Connery, you're going to see again here. This is where we know he's kind of a good guy in heart, because he doesn't hit the old lady. He instead diverts into a trolley car. And you know what would be cool? I would love to see this. Michael Bay, come over here.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Can you make an explosion, but the trolley car then, like, kind of goes up on top of the explosion, and it flips around, and then it falls down, and, like, you know, I just want it to look really cool.
I can do
like
whatever you want.
Yeah. Kind of the king of defying all physics.
Yeah, I make
magic.
So
that won't be a problem.
Yeah.
As long as I can use the exact same song package that I've used in every other movie, then we'll be fine.
Boy, is it ever.
It's the exact same. Like, you can hit all the moments. Like, you know, the second he starts talking to his daughter... I can tell you what that's going to sound like.
Now, we're in the 90s.
The emotional music.
We're in the 90s, so, you know, like I said, all these women are like, oh, I want a job and I want to make money like men, and we're not going to do that. But we will include this character, and we'll give her some sassiness, and she can be a bit independent, okay? Mm-hmm. In fact, how about this? They're only... Oh, I got away. They're not married, but she's pregnant. Mm-hmm. That'll show some independence and stuff.
It's progressive.
Let's have her propose to him.
Okay. Oh,
she will propose marriage. So
like
it'll
it.
Make... And then, okay, then after that, we don't have to do much with her.
Right.
We'll just put her
she's
over
out of the story.
And because it's the 90s and we're trying to get a little advanced here, what if we get, can you get a black guy? Can you find a black guy? Just one
how
or
many?
Two. And
oh, okay, all right.
Sprint, you know, not like a lead.
Right.
Not be silly.
Yeah, 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 of
but,
course.
But just, you know, maybe one of the soldiers.
Yeah, like a foot soldier.
And, yeah, couple black guys.
How about Ed Harris? Do we
I
all
Ed
love
Harris.
Ed Harris?
I need Ed Harris. I need John C. McGinley.
Okay, can I also possibly have Ed Harris looking plaintively at the start of the movie at a tombstone?
Yeah, while it's pouring rain.
All right, tell Corby what you found out about this.
So this went viral a couple months ago, but Corby, you need to go back and watch the first 5 minutes of this movie. Because when Ed Harris is standing there and he's all decked out in his military
and the music
honors,
is just blaring.
Right, and he's standing in the rain. The tombstone, I could tweet this photo.
And he tells the tombstone, I couldn't do this while you were alive.
Right.
So he's been holding on to this mission he wants to accomplish.
Yeah, it says October 17th, 1946 to March 9th, 1995. There's a cross on the tombstone. There is a name, Barbara Hummel. But above the name, it just says, his wife.
What?
Yeah.
Like inscribed.
We didn't need the paint by numbers. We know it's his wife. It actually says
his wife.
Like, is that a prop mistake?
Yeah.
Like they had labeled it for the prop.
Like a dummy
but
headline.
But then kept it in the movie.
Yeah.
Because Michael Bay
you
is more concerned
me.
With that explosion that gets the trolley car up in the air.
Can you see that just on, like, when you're watching it in the movie? Or do you have to zoom in, like, take a picture of it and then zoom in?
No, you can see it.
Oh
yeah, I'll tweet it right now.
God.
It's so insulting. You're like, yeah, I've seen a movie before. I can put together that this is his wife.
You know what sold me for real is not only that opening scene when the guy, they have to lock him into that room when because one of the balls breaks with the chemical weapons in it.
Yeah.
But the way that the chemical weapons were all strung together and those pearls and they were green, like the fluorescent, like Oregon Baylor green, I was like, oh, yes. I can see how that can destroy several cities.
Yeah.
Not just one.
Very cool.
What about when Nick Cage can be in a knock-em-out dragon fight, rolling around on the ground?
I thought you said he was like a nerd. That seems weird.
With one of those in his shirt pocket.
Right.
Yeah.
We'll worry about that too
and
much.
Then he pulls it out and shoves it in the dude's mouth, which was pretty awesome.
It was.
I got to be honest. I think it's pretty emotional whenever the firefight's popping off between the actual former Marines and the current military.
And they have to just
when the Reservoir Dogs type thing,
yeah.
When they're all pointing a gun at each other and then they all shoot.
Yeah. That's tough, man. Are you sure we can put actual soldiers dying in this movie, or is that's the moral dilemma we're going for here?
Right. No, there's a lot of depth. A lot of depth to this. What about in the beginning when I like how they introduce us to certain characters, and we don't even see Sean Connery for a good half hour, right? 45 minutes?
Mm-hmm. We got to figure out a way to get in.
That Nick Cage's day-to-day, he had to deactivate a bomb in the first scene.
Right.
That's just common.
Then he comes home, of course, and the wife, you know how wives are, or ladies. They all want to talk about their day and what they are going through, and she doesn't really realize what he's been through.
All he wants to do is listen to the Beatles and drink a beer.
I mean, he's a chemical biology man.
Yeah, he is.
The demands of that job.
No. He's not a chemical biology man. He's the best. I need the best chemical biology. I know who that is. It's Nick. He's right down the street.
And man, did the 80s and 90s, like, they just could not lay off the crack of invoking the Navy SEALs.
Yeah. Oh, dude.
It's every movie. Somewhere along the lines, the Navy SEALs will be involved.
How do you like at the end? Corby already mentioned Point Break. Point Break first or this first? Point Break was probably first.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, Point Break was 91 or 2. Okay. This was 96.
So that set a template that we were imitating after that. And this template was end of movie, FBI guy lets the misunderstood criminal go.
Yeah, that's a great template. Because they couldn't have got here without each other. And so at this point, he just wants, bad guy wants to disappear again. He saved the world.
Right. And he knew that he would be unjustly put back in prison if he were to just, he didn't deserve this.
No. And there's also kind of like a Shawshank style angle too, right? Where he's going to tell him where he can go find his buried treasure.
Yeah.
Go find his money. And, you know, I'm just going to randomly throw in that he also knows who killed JFK, and he's going to have even a microfilm right. That's going to indicate.
I felt like they were setting me up for a sequel.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
But no, it's just he knows who killed JFK, and he wanted Nicolas Cage to know
right.
randomly. Really no point.
What was it, like a church in Kansas or something
yeah,
like that?
Like under the pews. Here's yeah. the microfilm telling us who killed JFK.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing.
So
it really
fun,
is.
Dude.
Look, the fact that they did utilize Alcatraz in the way that they did. I mean, this could have been a movie that was, you know, you have this top of the line military outfit that is in Albuquerque or something like that. It wouldn't have had the same mystique. The fact that they utilize Alcatraz, which everybody's familiar with, which has been, you know, completely stereotyped in a way that if you hear the words, you know exactly what you envision. And then there's only one guy that's ever done it before, and you get him back involved. And I mean, it was awesome.
Did you go to Alcatraz?
Yeah, I did. Yeah,
were we there together?
No, I've been. I think I've been three times. I
was there for a Super Bowl trip.
May have been. The last time I went was with, I did take the family. And so we saw, before we went, I had them watch Escape from Alcatraz, the Clint Eastwood movie. And I told them that every now and then those three guys that got off, they're, you know, air quote, got off the island, that sometimes they will kind of just try to walk back in with the big crowd on the boat. So if you look for a couple guys that, you know, are about 130, that you may see them.
No way.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's
they're there.
Them dead.
Yeah.
You were right.
And then we watched The Rock after that, of course, just to get him even more fired up.
Well, I'm going to give this A++, two thumbs up.
Okay, Dan, so Armageddon, Predator, we saw that one, we reviewed that one. Of all the teen movies that you skipped out on in your 20s, did you enjoy this one more than those other ones that we've talked about? Con Air.
No, I think Con Air and Armageddon were more fun.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I don't know why. They're all very ridiculous in their own way.
And you still have Armageddon at the top, Jake.
But
man, that's tough.
I do
I don't
love
know
a little
if I
Armageddon,
can
man.
Rank
that
my
was
children.
That was fun. Armageddon was really fun.
Armageddon is a little more emotional, you know?
Yeah.
It's just a really, there's a sad, sad thread there.
It truly is.
But this one's probably more badass.
Yeah.
Well, this has been fun. Maybe we'll dive into Face Off here in a month or so as we basically continue to relive my childhood. And
yeah, do we just go through Nick Cage catalog
until
first?
We run out? Just to prove once again that I have the exact same cultural interests and tastes as Corby's 11-year-old son. It's 249. This is The Ticket.